We're over here. I came here when I was 8 years old. And I've travelled all my life in Ireland. I've travelled all through Scotland. I've even been over in Europe. But when we had the 1968 Gypsy Caravan Sites Act travelling across the Atlantic, councils panicked. They said to themselves, we've no travellers. Move them on. So they kicked us safe from Cambridgeshire to Northamptonshire. From Northamptonshire to Warwickshire, from Warwickshire, God knows, over the border into Scotland. And every time an inspector would come to look around the county, you'd never believe it. There wasn't a traveller to be seen. And when they were gone, they were down and up and up and down. And I don't think we travelled since 1968. What we did do, we were escorted up and down the countryside since 1968. And we've asked for sites. Oh, yes, the government went through with it. Back to Parliament went through. There was no problem. But they made one small mistake. There was no sites. For every 100 families, there was one site built for 15 families. Even at that, it was a little something. But it was not. Because when the 15 families, everybody increases in mortgages. They got married. They had to go back on the road again because the site did not provide any place for them to stay. So where do you go? Factory, car park, schoolhouse, playground? Anywhere you can get off the road. We then decided enough was enough 2 or 3 years ago. Travellers started buying land back as far back as 1970. But not one that I've known of ever got planning permission. Never. And I could take you around the country where they are. That's one problem on it. Number two, when you move a travelling family off of a piece of ground which they've legally bought and just want to live their lives, it's not just the family you're moving. You're moving the young away from education. You're moving the elderly away from what we call old people's care and attention. You're moving the sick, you're moving everything. You're cutting these people off of everything that everyone has got here. They came to us in several places and said, look at the rubbish in the mess you made. Yes, there is rubbish in this litter. But what they never said was, if we approach the council for skips to put the rubbish in there, we're flatly turned down. The reason why? They become dolan a sight. If we get private skips, puts it on that ground, they will come with their great big lorries in the council and take the skips and impound them. So what do? You just throw it out the hell of it. You try. It's like Tottenham. They say to us, there's fly shooting going on. There is. We do not do it. I've asked the local people around, so we will put up a barrier on that road. We will pay for it and give the people who use that land a key each. And they can allow themselves in and out when they want to go, but to stop the fly shooters. That was ruled out. Speeding through the village. I asked for speed cameras so we could identify to who was doing this. That was ruled out. Antisocial behaviour? Fabulous. The police invested 800 complaints and found that only 6 that could identify, and they kept in the village itself. So that is just another load of baloney. So where is all this terrible thing we're doing? Planning laws? We're not flouting planning laws. We're just asking for planning permission to say we're using the Human Rights Act. What Human Rights Act? We just need a basic rights act, an act just to live. They can keep the Human Rights Act because we never had one to begin with. Tell me where it is. What about the village's Human Rights Act? What are we doing to that village who is 1 mile away from us that's upsetting the human rights? Can anyone answer me that here? I'd like to know. I'll give you an example. My wife went in the other day to the hairdressers in the village and she asked, could she make an appointment for her hair? So that was all very fine. I would love, she says, love to again, but I'm booked out for the next 12 months. Now, where do you get a hairdresser that's booked out for 12 months, for God's sake? I tell you, it must be one hell of a slow dressmaker, or whatever you call a hairdresser. It must take a month to do one person alone. He walked into a pub with my wife the other night, or a few weeks back. He says, "I don't serve you tight." Now, I had witness to this, and the world, even then, and the world just said, "You've got to give me a reason, though, so if I'm not serving, I've been here in my life. I've got to give you no reason," she said. "Now, just get out," she says, "or I'll have you arrested." Now, how would you, any people here, feel? You have a nice shirt and tie, a new suit. Yes, it's the business. The weekend, me and the wife are going out. You walk into a pub and everyone looks at you, and you have to walk out there with your tail between your legs, like a dog that just got a beat. Is that fair? Well, what we're worried about is, where is it all leading to? Is there any light down that long tunnel at the end of it? Where are we going? Where's my grandchildren going? Where's my great-grandchildren, for that matter, going?
Are you looking at anything here, Roger?
Oh, there you are.
Will it be changed by the end of the day?
What will change? It will hasn't changed.
The Lib Dems are in by then.
I am not a political-minded man. I'm not interested in politics anywhere in the world of God. Never have been, never will be. Because the simple reason I don't vote anyway. I've never voted in my life. How could I vote? Where in God's name can I walk into council and say, "Look, I want to sign on for vote. And my son and my wife and so on." "Oh yes, no problem. What's your name? Where are you born? That's it. Lovely. Where are you living?" "I'm in the first Labour on the A1 on the left-hand side." So they look at that. They say, "Well, you can vote. You haven't got a proper address." "All right. I pull into a car park. I'm in Tesco's car park. Now will you let me vote?" No. "You can't vote in Tesco's car park. You've got to go somewhere else down the road." I phone them back again and say, "Look, I'm in Asda's. Now will you let me vote?" It's just a stupid thing. I'm not saying that they're all bad. I'm not trying to say that they're all good. But I've been reared up at the side of the road. I've been in the middle of these evictions. I've seen cases where they come in the morning time, about 6 o'clock, where kids are in bed and they turn the gas off. Right? They leave it off for about 4 or 5 minutes max, and they turn it back on again. Once they turn that back on again, it's raw gas coming through the gas fires, because we're all gas interheated at this day and age. They're trying to gas us to get inside the damn thing. You know how dangerous that is? I see, look at them doing it. But what can I do? The government, like Mr. Howard himself, glorious man he may be. Well, that's a matter of opinion, I suppose. He says that he's going to solve the problem of the travellers once and for all, and he'll put us out of Cottenham and everywhere else. So where is he thinking of putting us? The Faroe Islands? Obviously got a gas chamber or something in mind, because I haven't a clue where he's going to put us. Even if they said, "Look, we'd put 15 sites here and there all over the county," you wouldn't get the permission to put one. The council would be bulldozed down. Because the local authorities have read that much, well, the local communities, I should say, read that much about travellers, that they're afraid to turn they're living like zombies. And all of a sudden we show up, they're putting a site next door to them. It can't be done. You've got to get rid of the racism. Until that happens, we're going over, only up and down the M1. My next address will probably be the A5. Maybe after that, I'm lucky, it could be the M6. And who knows, I might spend the time around the M25, going around and around and around and around. As it was called us one time, the long lost tribe of the M25, because we used to keep on disappearing around it.